Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm afraid our day of leisure is getting short. There is a big mess in Marseille, some madman driving an Audi at impossible speed.
Don't look at me.
That is the first place the chief told me to look.
The guy.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 566. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Hey, we got the fugitive doctor friend in this one again, Dunaway.
Oh, is he in here? How many arms does he have? Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we're tasked with delivering the package again. Part 3. And this time, the package wants to do you on the side of a mountain after performing a shirtless Statham for the third time. And boy, does it feel good to air out all that musky chest hair. That's right, fellas. She's the complete package. I mean, she's no airtight gym bag full of phone books that you can use to float your Audi A8 after filling those bags with air you had to French kiss out of your tires because you drove off a bridge. But she does have her own special freckle-faced pee in the corner sort of je ne sais quoi. Lady! Yeah, Dean was funnier. Anywho, if you're looking for the perfect force to be your co-pilot, passenger, or blow up for your cross-country trek across Europe, I guess you could do worse than a broken English manic depressive who sleeps half the time, ignores you half the time, recites restaurant menus she has committed to memory half the time, gets high half the time, and tries to hump your leg the rest of the time. Is this love that I'm feeling? Nope. It's my car keys in her pocket. Damn it, not again. Hey, Randy. I never smelled anything like this. See, even when you were in the crapper, I thought you said it was booze.
Booze.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta start. You remind me of so many things I forgot about this film. Yeah, and I thought I remembered everything about
her
this
peeing
film.
In the corner in particular. Forgot about all about that. All right, nicely done. Randy, he likes to buckle your seatbelt for you, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Welcome to this, whatever this is. Honestly, I'm just thrilled to be here on this boat with you, my best friend, as we age gracefully together and sort of vaguely refer to the fact that we really like French cooking or something. Why did we start that whole bit of comic relief and then never use it again anymore? That's weird. Anyway, action and adventure awaits us. Sorry. Action and adventure awaits one of us. You, the older and funnier previously comic relief, are not invited again. And we're going to fall in love. I'm going to fall in love, but not really, with yet another woman, as long as we follow these three guidelines. Number one, make sure the woman is petite, has short hair, and is wearing just shocking smoky eye makeup. Luc Besson has a type, guys. Number two, initially pretend that you have no interest in her whatsoever. You need to act practically repellent. You're a professional after all. you're not the professional. He's got his own small woman with short hair and smoky eye makeup to deal with. Three, make it very clear that you are straight. You're straight. Don't even think about all those fishing trips with quote unquote your friend. You're straight. Just say it out loud to make it real. I'm straight. I swear I am. Stop asking.
Wow. That was.
I'm not in the mood, Randy. Not in the mood.
Something there. All right. With us finally.
Fix your microphone.
Yeah, indeed. With us finally. Brian, kiss him for the keys, Ibbot.
Keys for the keys. Hello, 007? Yeah, it's Q from work. How's vacation going? Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Hey, listen, I just got a call from the Transporter franchise, and they'd like some of our gadgets for Transporter 3. Hmm? Oh, yeah, same actor, that Statham kid. Yeah, I can't see them making any of these without him. Unlike someone I know, right? Anyway, before I send any of my inventions to him, I wanted to run them by you and get your okay. First off, I'm sending him a pair of proximity bracelets. Yeah, the one you used in the mission in Belgium. Right, 75 feet away from the transponder, and then the chemicals inside explode. Those are the ones. Although, I still can't figure out why they don't work in roadside gas station convenience stores or in sex fields. Anyway, I think I'll go ahead and send those. Next, I know you'd shoot me if I sent one of your Aston Martins, so I'm sending him a tricked-out Audi A8. Does it turn into a submarine? I'm going to say no to that, but it will run immediately after being submerged in water for 30 minutes, and the tires hold an impossible amount of air, so there's that. Last thing they requested was a Bond girl. No, I know what you're going to say. So I'm having the guys work out something in the lab. They've created a clone using DNA from some of the worst women you've ever been involved with in your career with MI6, like Mayday, Xenia Onatopp, Rosa Klebb, even Octopussy. She's mean, moody, easily distracted, and kind of a brat. No, I'm just kidding. Dave in engineering is friends with Blofeld's niece.
Nice.
I like these parallels. These are good.
Yeah.
And also now I will never forget the Luc Besson type thing is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and,
he's such a Molly Ringwald.
Even sucked the air out of tires to survive underwater in some movie. And
nice.
Throws his hat onto a hat rack like Statham probably loses his jacket onto a hat.
Can we actually address the whole pulling air out of a tire and making that work for your lungs? I don't think that works. Yeah, right. I don't think that works. I think that's some horseshit. I think
think you could breathe the air you pull out of a tire, but I don't think you could fill the bags to the size that they were to lift an A8.
Have you ever depressed? You ever tried to get air out of a tire? I mean, I kept trying to look to see what he was doing because it was kind of fast and cut kind of loose. I was like, is he pulling the stem out? I couldn't quite.
Yeah,
I wrote down two things. I wrote down, this is not what grossed out Scott the most, but I'll bet it pissed him off.
No, it did piss me off.
And two, why do people in movies have the unnatural ability to hold their breath for 20 minutes?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I know you can train yourself to be really good at that, but I don't know. They always, it's just an easy go-to.
Do you guys find yourselves, like when there's a scene where somebody's having to hold their breath to go into water, do you find yourselves subconsciously holding your breath along with them?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I've never noticed. I will check that next time.
When it first goes in, it's usually a couple of seconds go by, and then I'm like, oh right. And I go.
So you do it. You actually notice you're doing it. I think I do it subconsciously because then I realize, like, I'm holding my breath right now because... they're underwater.
I don't think I've ever noticed it, but now that you say that, probably do. I know I do it with video games all the time, but that's usually because there's something tense happening.
Oh my gosh, those Mario water levels must be killer.
I hate that's why I hate those water levels.
I haven't played. I'm one of those people who plays most games in their time frame, so like I haven't played those Mario games in 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I was a kid.
Uh-huh. Is your pinky up right now? Because I bet your pinky's up right now.
Yeah.
I'll bet you when I was a kid, I was holding my breath.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It goes back that far.
Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah. There's a lot of breath holding in the famous film Transporter 3. Yes, that's right, everybody. We got around to doing all three of the damn ones that have Jason Statham in them. There's a fourth one. I don't think we're touching that, at least not.
There's no such thing as the fourth one.
for a while. What's it called? Transporter Rebooted or Refueled or some I think it's refueled. Yeah.
Transporter 4. This time it's personal.
Something
weird. Wait, every time it's personal.
This time it was less personal because Jason Statham says, nah, I'm
no,
good.
It's more really personal this time.
Eh, well, this time it is, yeah. But whatever's in 4, who knows what the hell that is.
Oh, like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, this time it's not even Jason Statham.
No. I think they rebooted it.
Transporter 4. This time it's not Jason Statham.
I think it's still the same character, though, which seems weird, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, why
can we talk about that? Can we talk about what I think is the worst part of that character, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
The most boring name of any action hero ever.
Frank Martin.
Martin. Like, Jack Reacher, John Wick.
Is it real? Is it fake? That's kind of the question, right?
Well, it is fake.
I mean, is he being honest?
Oh, is that his real name? And is the character hiding a different brand name? I mean, maybe.
Yes, we
know. Yes, it's an actor's name.
We know it's a fake character name.
Yeah. But you mean, like, in the movie, is it possible his real name is, like, Slazov Magubikov or whatever?
He definitely gave himself a different name. He definitely headed down to the rename place and renamed himself.
Yeah, the rename place.
That makes me feel better, but then I'm disappointed in him for not coming up with something better.
I agree. Well, he's trying to keep a low profile. He's you know, trying to just do his little delivery, freaking Audi service that he does, and... I just want to upset everybody.
I don't even know. At this point, like, they don't even really tell you, and it's like the fault of the movie, in my opinion. Like, the big problem with this movie is that it's totally self-aware that it is the third entry, and it skips all the stuff that you want, you know, like you would like to know, how's he making a living, you know,
they assume a lot. They're like, it's like a video game that does a sequel and has no tutorial. It assumes everyone's played them before. It's kind of like that. If you haven't seen 1 and 2, then 3, I think, is kind of confusing.
Yeah, showing up at the theater going, oh, Transporter 3, I've never seen the series. We should start here.
Yeah, start here.
We should start with 3.
But if you do that, you're gonna have a worse time. But I don't know if this is going to shock anybody or not, but I actually kind of like 3 more than the other two. I said that last time, but 2.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think is it just in the right mood or something? Because it didn't hit me as garbage.
I gotta say, I'm not disagreeing with Scott. I think there's stuff here that makes it more rewatchable. I'm not saying it's better, but I think
the action was a little better.
Okay. Boy, are you guys wrong.
I mean, look, I don't, you know what? There's a part of me that knows I'm wrong. Like, I know I'm wrong, and I know none of these are great.
No. I mean, obviously, what you like is what you like. That's there's nothing at all wrong with that, except that.
And we've talked about
completely wrong.
Yeah,
we've talked about the film the problem people have with film critics in general, right? That is that they hold themselves to be objective when they watched a movie one time, and they had whatever mood they had that day when they watched that movie one time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't like that. We would like for there to be a such thing as an objective opinion, and there's not, right? Mm-hmm. It all comes to a lot of things about you personally. And so, like, the best audience are the ones that are forgiving, right? The ones that can see through all of that and just enjoy themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I guess I just came to it going, well, we've seen the first two. I know what to expect here. And then I just thought some of the action was handled better. I thought it looked better. I thought the music was better.
I think the pacing's better because, I mean, like, in the first one, there were times where I'm like, okay, we get it. You're racing through the streets. Let's end this part and move on to the next part. And if like everything just it moved along at a good clip. That's why I think it's rewatchable.
Maybe
the first Transporter, I'd be like, oh, we're gonna have to watch 20 minutes of this.
Yeah. And not that the movie still suffers from not them spending enough time developing anyone. So you know, it's still a problem. But I think the other two have those problems too. I just think this thing hit the ground running and said, look, we're not going to tell you how Batman came to be and his parents got shot in the alley. We're just going to make a movie about the Transporter. Let's go.
It also did not develop its own subplot at all. Like, it was weird. Yeah. I was like scratching my head. I don't actually write with a pencil, but I typed into my phone's notes apps that I was annoyed by the fact that it starts with a subplot about a ship that has some magic, I don't know, Marvel gamma ray goo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it didn't really develop.
it just sits off the coast until after everything else. And it's like, raid, That's
right. It could have contained anything. It was so.
It could have actually had booze on it, but it didn't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It was just so non-integral to the plot. Exactly what was on there. It could have been any contraband or human trafficking or anything. It just okay. Well, there's these ships that we really want to bring onto land, and we can't.
I wanted to ask you guys: would you have been offended if it was just human trafficking again? Would that have bothered you?
I mean. Yes, I would have felt lazy, just like, oh, okay, you're doing that again?
Fine. Are you trying to get me to say the human trafficking doesn't bother me, Randy?
No. I'm asking because this was so bad. It was so unexplainable, and like, because you have to, like, the big twist of the movie is that the bad guy is trying to exchange the politician's daughter for some kind of legislation favor.
Yes,
I'm just asking, like, we're all going to agree that's not very compelling.
Not since the Star Wars franchise have trade agreements been so exciting.
If we're all in agreement that that's not compelling.
No.
I'm asking, would you have held it against this movie if it had just done the same thing that the first one?
Well, I think they could have just gone in any other direction, like these guys are up to this, and it would have been more interesting than, man, we're going to sign this 8-ship deal. Whoa. Like, that really.
We didn't really landed. Even need this ship. You could have just said, we've got waste. We want to get,
to show off some visual for some makeup effects on the guys. Like, is that really the whole reason we had those ships?
That's a really good point. Cause that seemed to set up more that they were going to go further in that way.
Yeah. And they just things were going to somehow get on land. Frank was going to have to deal with those.
I'm called first name basis.
Frank,
whatever.
Frank. Don't worry, Franks. We love you guys. It's just
as long as you're not an action hero, then you're fine. Right.
An action hero named Frank.
Frank.
No thanks.
Yeah, they didn't do any of those things. And I thought, I thought the key plot of him, look, all of it's dumb. The bracelets are dumb. The bad guy in this is a dude I really like from,
the bracelets.
What's it called? Prison Break, that's the movie. Yeah. Or show.
Okay.
He's great in it.
He's a good bad guy. He's you know.
Yeah. I think he's a little hit and miss, but he's really compelling to watch in most things he does. He's an interesting dude. So that stuff was fine. But all the reasons why everyone's doing stuff, their motives,
It's just business. That's what happens when you get to this level, right? It's just business. Don't be mad. Don't take it personal.
It's a mistake. Look, it's a mistake the Bond series made, and I'm not trying to compare these directly. I would never do that. But the Bond series, for me,
it's easy to do, though.
It was always at its best when the villain had a glass eye or a golden hat or a freaking broken penis or whatever their problems
diamonds shoved in his face.
Yeah, whatever they are.
The man with the golden hat.
All of those things. I love that. Webbed feet, that sort of stuff. But then when they got to just be normal, just dudes with a lot of money and influence, it's like,
I definitely preferred the bad guys with like a henchman that like
a weird
metal mouth also, or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought what's his name's in Skyfall. I think that was the one.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz, Blofeld. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of a dude from No Country for Old Men, kills people with a cow gun.
Oh, Anton Sugar. What's his name? Anton Sugar.
Because you always refer him to the, kills people with a cow killer.
The cow killer gun.
Cow killer guy.
I can't think of his freaking name.
The guy with the bowl cut.
The guy that played Ricky in the Ricky and Lucy thing.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, there you go.
Javier Bardem.
Yes. He was at least a little crazy and out there, the whole hacker,
Yeah, but Safair, or whatever his name is, the guy who cries blood.
Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah, that is a cool. Yeah, you're right. I don't fault the newer ones. The ones I struggled with were the Dalton ones and the later,
Daniel Craig ones.
Yeah, no. The later, what's his name? Our guy.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. I can't think of Roger Moore's name ever. I can never think of his effing name.
Because it's like Frank Martin. It's not a good name.
Roger Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
In my head, I always want to say Adam West because they're basically the same human being. But anyway.
I agree with you.
I think they look a lot alike and they sound alike.
I'm trying to see it.
Yeah, it's easy. If you go look at them both, you'll be going, oh, yeah, okay. I can see it.
Let me see.
Anyway. But my point is, like, this is where we're at with this. It's like, oh, what are we? Well, we have a business dispute in a country. Okay. Well, that's not exciting at all. You need somebody who's got missiles pointed at some shit. You got to have some, like, right. I don't know, a guy who's can't talk or can't hear out of his left ear or whatever, you know?
Great. Capture the senator's daughter. And but there's got to be some, you know, you can come up with some better reason that you've got her and that you want to trade her. And it's not, you know, well, let's let my ships come to land, please, and dock.
And it's sad. It's please. Doubly sad because it has a bunch of cool stuff in and around these characters. Yeah, right. Yeah. So like as tropey as it is, and we've explored this trope on Film Sack many times, the explosive leash is really cool.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Leash. I liked it.
Yeah.
It adds a really cool level of, you know, oh God, we can't go very far. And the, you know, the going underwater thing, what a great use of that, because like, oh great. You know, if he stays on in his car, he drowns. If he leaves the car, he explodes. And I thought that was a great.
So if you have an explosive leash, you have to always demonstrate it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like when we saw the Running Man, right, there's one guy who tries to get away from the camp, the labor camp, and his thing explodes. We saw this in Swordfish, where the collars were filled with ball bearings. That's amazing. Yeah.
Right.
The one I was thinking of most recently was Suicide Squad, right? Oh, everybody in Suicide Squad has a bomb implanted inside them.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole basis of their freaking team. So what's the one we saw where they had – oh, no, we never did a Saw movie, but the Saw movies have this a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
we have not done
a Saw movie. But it's usually like other people, right? It's like – yeah. But then we also watched the Wild Wild West, which had the with the disc. Like if you got so far away, you had the collars on.
The collars, right? The disc would go through. So Frank's a smart guy. Wouldn't you pull over and then search the car for the transponder that, you know, that whatever it is that you have to be 75 feet away from for these things to go off?
I really thought that was the point of him going to random mechanics place to find the broadcast mechanism and then put a battery on it so you could put that in your pocket.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Just duct tape it to your bracelet.
Yeah. Right. Well, at least he didn't have to like knock a bomb off the bottom of his car like by doing a flip. So
But I kind of like that better than anything I saw in this. I mean, going on two wheels to get between a couple of semis.
Oh my God.
This is over.
What is the deal with the two lane roads and two semis that just makes everything more intense?
Yeah, it's like, John Candy and Steve Martin did it better. Thank you very much.
I still kind of enjoyed it here.
I don't mind it. I just feel like it was kind of the best that their stunts got. And it was like, okay. Right. I mean, I guess the big final scene is, you know, let's get the train going. Let's get this. You know, the way he'll catch up with it is actually drive his car into the train car. And now they're not separated again.
Which one was it that he did that? He drove off a bridge and onto
He did almost the same thing. Yeah, that's the second one, I think. Yeah, did almost the exact same effing stunt.
Yeah.
But then to drive that in there, now the bracelet thing is safe because they're not separated. Yeah. And then have that fight ensue and then strap him to that car and then have that happen to him. I don't know. That all worked for me. Like that was kind of a fun. And I actually thought the scene where one of the other Audis went flying off a cliff and crashed was one of the coolest versions of those I've seen in a long time. That was actually a rad, you know, cliff fall.
And that's the first time in a long time I've seen a car that hit something and exploded and went, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, oh, really? Because I still looked at it and said they must have had a trunk full of gasoline.
I mean, that thing flew. That was like the furthest I've seen a car. Yeah. You know, it reached terminal velocity.
And it flipped over very gracefully to land perfectly on its head. There was no like, he might make it.
The way that car landed just absolutely crushed the entire car.
Like, yeah.
The occupants are gone. They're now gone.
It's the first time where I felt like so I will say this, of the three movies, the first time I felt like the car kind of had a life of its own in a weird way, kind of a Herbie kind of thing. I know it wasn't sentient or anything like that, but there was a lot of, I don't know, real loving shots of this Audi this time when he got it out of the water. I was like both, well, yeah, of course it saved him from the exploding thing, but also he saved his car. And then it worked again later. And then it was like, this car is going to sacrifice itself for the good of the train people. Like there was something there where the car felt like it was being treated almost humanely.
Because before, I'm with you, because in the previous ones, it always felt like it got away without a scratch. So Statham was always, you always feel like Statham was in control of the car. Here, you're right. It feels like it had a little more character. Also, this movie has escalated in reality somewhat, because we have a Ukrainian passenger here. And we got there was actually in her home. They were at her home, right? By that point in time, they were in the Ukraine, and a Ukrainian guy, a farmer, pulled the car out with a tractor. I mean, there's memes everywhere with this happening right now with Ukrainian tractors doing.
Oh, that's true. I did notice things. This movie could not get the how to say it right. They kept saying the Ukraine, and it kept the Ukraine. Me nuts.
Right, right. Well, the Ukraine. Everything was the gays.
Oh, so that's why they kept calling it the Ukraine, because of crappy accents.
Yeah, because we had this broken English we were getting from our character. So Valentina.
Let's talk about Natalia Rudakova. She allegedly was discovered by Luc Besson right before the production of this film.
Yeah, this is her first movie.
He's literally walking down the street in New York City, at least that's what they both claim, passes her by on the sidewalk, stops her and says, you know, you are an amazing looking person. I would like to see if you can act. And then purchases a series of acting lessons for her. And
that feels like bait, doesn't it?
Flies her to France. And I'm just like, is Luc Besson Harvey Weinstein? I'm not sure what's going on here.
That's a big jump. I don't want to necessarily say, but maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
She went on to do other stuff, and I'd say she's capable in this. She's fine.
Yeah.
You know? Sure.
Yeah. Yes and no, right? Like the what they did was they made the role fit the ability of the actor.
Yeah, you know, I guess what I'm saying? Sure. Mm-hmm. But for your first thing, I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know? It's not bad. She's still doing stuff. She's in something called none of this we know though.
I was trying to decide if she was grating. I was trying to decide if she was grating because she was grating or if her character her character was definitely grating. But I definitely could tell this is a first film for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our director here is Olivier Megaton.
I love the name Megaton.
I just want to say it over and over again.
Megaton.
Olivier Megaton, man. I just I know. I'm sure that's actually pronounced Megaton or something, but I don't care.
It's Megaton.
He's Megaton.
Oh, if my name was spelled that way, damn right I'd be pronouncing it Megaton.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's
a French director. He's, by the way, done other stuff you've heard of. He did Taken 2. He did Taken 3. Did he do the original Taken? Let's see. Maybe he did the original Taken. I don't know. He does a lot of sequels for people. He comes in and says, hey, I'll take care of that. You guys go ahead.
Yeah.
He strikes me as he's a competent French director who can work under Luc Besson, which is, that's the thing. You have to have a kind of guy, right? Because like what Luc Besson wants in a movie is for people to look pretty. That's what is really happening here.
Yeah.
The shots are all set up for people to look pretty. And so we're back to Natalia Rudakova. She is primarily a wardrobe and makeup and hair, and you get the feeling she really committed. Like there was a lot of work put in to making her look how she looks.
I guess prior to this she was a makeup hairdresser person,
a salon
salon worker. Worked at a salon, so she's probably used to this sort of stuff. But yeah, you're right about the type thing though, like the eye makeup dripping everywhere.
She is so Lilo Dallas multipass in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Except she didn't hold the multipass until Bruce Willis had sex with her.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You must have sex with me to get multipass.
You do have more. You have sex with me.
She kind of grew on me. She grew on me after a while.
Did she?
Yeah.
First, she kind of bugged me, but she grew
on me. I couldn't figure out if I was. Yeah, she did. She kind of grows on you. But it was such a weird character though, because she was asleep so much. I'm like, why is she sleeping so much?
She does sleep a lot. I kept wanting to warn him. I'm like, dude, I don't know if this is gonna work out. You're pretty busy. Yes. You got a lot going on.
I mean, but while she was sleeping, she was falling in love with him.
And I guess the story, like the movie doesn't tell you this. You have to invent the story yourself. So she was captured in Ibiza and she was like a club goer, like doing drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Party and so, girl. Like,
the story here is that she's sleepy because she has been doing drugs of her own volition. Like, yes, they also knocked her out, but she's also kind of the kind of person who wants to, you know, pop some pills. And so, like, this is demonstrated a little bit, but it was so ham-fisted, guys.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the hell is happening? He tries to knock the pills out of her hands, and she's not having it. I'm like, why is this movie doing this?
Did she get the second pill? I didn't quite catch it. I was like, oh, did he knock it out?
I couldn't tell either. I know she took the first one. I think she took the second one, too. And then he's like, oh, you're going to be bouncing off the walls.
You're going to be taking the pills. And
We've got piraten to do.
Like, it's supposed to be funny when she goes to the into the little gas station and tries to go to the bathroom, but it's too far away from the car. Sorry, it's not funny. It's not funny at all. Yeah, like, it's the whole time.
It's gross.
Yeah, you're just like, this is gross. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, let's see if you guys are close on what grossed me out.
I wrote this down. I think number two is the spit in the face.
Oh, really?
What would you put?
Wait, I guess I gotta do this. Hold on.
You waxed your anus. Gross.
Okay, so what's number one?
Number one is when the bad guy says, to quote the great American Donald Trump, you're fired. That gross got out the most.
All right, that irritated me the most. But anytime anyone spits in anyone's face.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Especially when there's like visible evidence of this freaking saliva all over your freaking gob.
There's definitely something that came out from that direction. You know, she spit something out. There's just no way to film that without having her actually.
Oh man. Do you think that like directors say, all right, now try it with a little bit of pea soup or try it with a little bit of vanilla milkshake or try, you know, like they try a whole bunch of things just to make sure they get the scene right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, okay, you know what? Just to get it out of the way now so I can burn it, I'm just going to play this audio.
In the words of the great American Donald Trump, I'm sorry, but you're fired.
F off. Yeah. I don't care about it. You don't need to insert the. I know at the time he was like hosting The Apprentice. You don't need to take this modern mention and stick it in there. You don't need to do
this. This movie becomes more and more relative to our current time period with all these drops about the Ukraine and Trump and environmental issues, which has been a big issue for a long time, but they made it the centerpiece.
Yeah. Are we going to one day look back and go, the Transporter 3, if we'd only listened in 2008?
If the bad guy liked Donald Trump, we really should have been paying attention then.
Yeah. And we've let too many ships in, and now the world economy is falling apart, and it's like there's a million times.
I was suitably like bothered by that line, but I don't think it's the worst line in the movie. I think the worst exchange in the movie is when she says, you're the gay, and he says, nope, I am not the gay.
I am not the gay.
I don't know how they got to that point in the script and committed to it. It's just weird.
I'm not the gay. Yeah, but hearing him say, where is it?
I am not the gay.
It's something about his delivery.
The gay.
I am not the gay. But she's pretty great.
You know, this movie, for me, obviously kind of sucked. But it wasn't because it didn't have anything to do with Jason Statham. I think Jason Statham's line delivery, he is great at this sort of thing. He's just was given crap to work with this time around.
Yeah. He's always really there's a reason this guy's a mega movie star, right?
Yeah.
You just look at him and you go, shit, he's ripped and he's amazing looking and he's bald and somehow sexy and like all this stuff. He's got all this stuff going on and he delivers his lines in such great ways. But there was definitely an evolution. If I go back to Transporter One, which is an early film for him, early career stuff, it doesn't land as well. Like, it just seems like he's a little more, not nervous, but like out of his element. He's new to this. He'd rather be swimming. Like, I don't know where his head's at. But it feels like by this third one, totally like confident. This feels like the Statham we're stuck with. You know, this is the guy we got.
Like, I want to give you credit for liking this movie because I feel like this is peak Statham in this series. He is better in this movie than the previous two. And it's just like, because he's been practicing this a lot, right? Yeah. He better be good at it.
That might be what it is for me. Like, it's not, I know the taken separately and analyzed, the movie's kind of really bad, but he's better than he is in the other two. And that cell, that's a lot of the cell for me, you know, like I really enjoy this kind of guttural focused. I can take 12 guys down with my suit coat kind of attitude. It's fun. You know, right. So it's like fun John. It's like John Wick without like point blank bullet face.
They do enough to make that stuff feel different each time. Maybe they could do a little bit more, but I do like the piano, the bling, blong, blank, blong, you know, the bashing the guy's head down the keys. But, I mean, the two scenes, you know, one in the mechanic thing when he's surrounded by eight guys and the one in the original or
you got to have the circle fight.
You
right?
do. And it's always the same, like, you don't want to do this. Let me take my jacket off. Hold on a second. And, you know,
okay, where's the big guy at? Where's the big fella? I know we're gonna fight him. Where's he at?
Yeah, he's exactly. somewhere.
Did anybody else gain expectations after those two fights? Like yes. For me, the piano fight is him versus five men, and then the mechanics place fight is him versus like 15 men, and I was like, okay, the next fight is gonna be crazy. Like I was like, he's now gonna have to fight 105 men, right? It's gonna be
all the men. So,
And of course that didn't happen, but I had expectations.
No, but you did get the classes later on, which I always like. It's like, oh, I fought a bunch of little skinny ninja guys, so now there's a big guy. I got to fight the big man. There's something about that I enjoy.
I like the big man, even though
it's really stupid.
Are you the little one?
Oh, I'm the big one.
The smart one.
I don't know why we're all doing
the smart
Australian.
One. That's what he said. Right,
he's a smart big one.
We're all doing Australian accents for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Why. Yeah. We're leaning into it.
You're just going to own it. It's fine.
It enjoys it. It'll surprise you.
They also had a question. They called earlier on. Somebody had to show a passport, and they called it a pass bill. Is that normal in Europe?
No.
Is that what that's called over there?
Catch that.
Yeah. The guy goes, "Can I please see your pass bill?" I'm like, "Pass bill."
I'm not late. I'm not late. On my
passport.
My question was, did he show two passports? Because there's two people in the car, and it would have been really weird for an immigration agent to just accept one and be like, that one's sleeping. Okay, I don't need to see that passport.
That's the question I had too, but it makes sense because he actually got, even though he got waved on to the "we need more information." And so he passed on that duty to the next guy. And it's like, now she's got to wake up. Now she's got to get out.
Okay, I didn't get it.
Pass the duty to the next hand guy.
That's right. I'm like, here, pass it on, man. I'm dealing with these guys.
So
before you get off the whole stunts thing, I noticed that we got a special credit at the beginning of the movie for Corey Wen, who was the martial arts choreographer.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I just thought like that gave me some expectations, right?
Okay.
Yeah. This is the person who directed the first one, right? The transporter, right?
Right.
So I didn't know that. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
His name's not Megaton, but we'll take it. It's fine.
I just thought that was kind of cool because he directed the first one, directed a couple other movies that I've never seen. But, special credit for this person for choreographing the fights. And I actually thought the fights were better than the first two movies. I really do. I feel like there was,
Corey Yin's so good. That Corey Yin guy's, he's famous for mostly stuff in Hong Kong and other, movies overseas. But the stuff he does here, pretty badass. Pretty awesome. Yeah. I guess he co-directed the first one. That's why I was confused because it was that Louis Leterrier and then Corey Yun was co-director, which I guess we brought it up at the time, but that's an unusual thing, isn't it? Having your stunt coordinator basically, or your stunt choreography guy being your co-director. It's probably good for an action movie. No complaints. I also noticed, I'm just looking at the trailer for the first movie, is Running Here in Silence in the background. He had way less hair on his chest in the first movie.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so I don't know what that means.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. That's an interesting point.
I don't know if that means like all those years of diving and swimming, he shaved it and now it's like overgrown. I know that's an old wives' tale, but maybe he lets it go. It doesn't shave it anymore. So it's just like, boof. But I'm looking at this trailer. It's like, holy shit, dude, he was a smooth dolphin in the first one compared to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. But anyway, he's a very, I mean, look, I'm not, I like the ladies. All right. I'm just putting it out there.
So you're not the gay. Right?
I'm not the gay.
I got you. Yeah.
Not
and
the gay.
And it's, not that there's anything wrong with that. Let's go full Seinfeld there. But my point is, he's, that is a very, very attractive man. Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Jason Statham, my lord. Where did you come from?
I'm confident enough in my sexuality to be able to say he's a very attractive man.
He's a very attractive man. I'm not saying I want a handy in the park. I'm just saying
I'm not saying I don't.
That's good. I wrote here, it might have been kind of late when I wrote this. I wrote, I like freckle people. I guess I was talking about her.
Oh, yeah, it makes personality. Yeah, plus it's interesting to count. You know, it's like, oh, how many freckles is
there? I've never thought of counting.
You get bored, you just count freckles.
Because I just watched The Old Man on Hulu with Jeff Bridges and all that. It's very good, by the way. John Lithgow, it's insane. But what's her name? Maybe from, I can't remember her real name.
From Arrested Development.
And that other.
Alia Shawkat.
Shawkat. Shawkat. She's in it, and she's also one of the, she's one of the freckle people.
She's one of the freckle people.
And I just think underground
freckle people.
Yeah, I just think it adds, I don't know, there's such a cool vibe to me about, I know that like a lot of people with tons of freckles when they grew up, they got teased for it and bugged about it because they're, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I'm not, I don't want to minimize that. I actually just always thought it was rad. Even as a kid, I'd be like, dude, that's so cool. I want that face.
I did joke to Tina because listen, I'm a fellow freckle wearer. I have a lot of freckles.
Yeah.
And I joked to Tina. I said, oh, they don't have the measles vaccine in Ukraine.
Oh, man.
Lady.
Be here all night.
You don't really think of a lot of, like, I had to really think like hard, like who are the other actresses that often you see with freckles while they're performing, right?
Right, because a lot of them will cover it up if they have them.
And I was thinking, like, Lucy Liu has done a couple things with the freckles showing. And I guess Lindsay Lohan. I'm having a really hard time thinking of anybody.
Lohan definitely got the frecks.
I think there was something where, what's her name from The Hunger Games? Freaking Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, really?
I feel like I've seen her. Freckly?
Get a little freckle going. Sorry, yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, like one of the most
famous. Nev Campbell, I want to say, has.
Okay. All right.
Freckly. The Freckleys? Yep.
Mike Lookinland. Oh, wait. We don't care about that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Little Ronnie Howard.
He has some freckles.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. There's some redheaded.
It's almost a requirement if you're redheaded to. Have freckles. Although I can think of Nebula. What's her name?
That plays Nebula. She's awesome.
This segment the name game. what's her faces? The freckles.
I can't think of it. The guy that played Scott Farkas on Christmas Story.
The Sandlot kid. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. I don't know. What I'm saying is I think they're cool, and I'm glad that it hasn't held any of these people back, because I actually think it's rad, and if I had them, I would be happier with my face. Liam Hemsworth.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Karen Gillan.
Nonetheless, if you go read contemporary reviews of Transporter 3, reviews from 2008, it seems like every reviewer wants to mention the freckles, and like some of them sound offended.
Yeah, like... Where some of them are like, you know, super like turned on by it. It's really weird how many of them bring it up. But like Roger Ebert even said something, or was it Ebert? It was somebody that, let's see here. I wanted to pull that one up.
I thought you were going to say the quote was Roger Ebert said, I wanted to pull those off her face. Like, that's where you were going.
Ebert said that Rudakova is no Bonnie Hunt when it comes to personality. She skulks, pouts, clams up, looks out the window, and yet falls in love with the transporter. Some perfectionists, no doubt, will criticize her acting. I say the hell with her acting. Look at those freckles. I can never get enough freckles.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Why was it comparing her to Bonnie Hunt? What was the deal there?
Because she's just super, like, Bonnie Hunt is just super filled with personality. I think other end of the spectrum.
But does he say that on every... That's a weird comparison to make on the transporter.
Bonnie Hunt is the bar by which he measures other women.
Yeah, that's weird.
Did she do something that year? Like cheaper by the dozen or something, maybe?
I don't know. I love Bonnie Hunt. She's amazing.
I do too. I love her.
It's a very odd thing.
I don't argue that all women should be compared to Bonnie Hunt, because I feel like she does set the bar very high. But
she's amazing.
She is great. I love her. Every time she shows up as a voice in a Pixar movie, I get happy. I like her.
Peter Hartlob of the San Francisco Chronicle found her to be the perfect woman for the film, pointing out her, quote, Dennis the Menace freckles, red hair, and semi-crazy behavior. And lacking the plastic hotness of your primped up Bond girl.
I mean, I agree with that. There's a real like naturalness to her look and everything. But like, that's, it feels weird. And everybody, like, yeah. I realize I've done it today.
I don't know, for me, if I would say it's naturalness, because I feel like she's also very, very dolled up, makeuped up. But there is a uniqueness that you don't get with the cookie cutter.
Yeah.
This is what we find to be pretty. Stamped out.
I think that's what I like about it. And I realize some people are going to be hearing this. Some of our female listeners are going to be like, and listen to these men talking about women's looks. That's not really what I'm doing.
No, not at all.
I am prepared to talk about men's looks, because this that is not the only thing going on in this movie. Like, we learned investigating this movie that Robert Knepper, the bad guy, the actor that played Johnson, his name's Johnson.
Yeah.
Johnson. Very funny. Robert Knepper was like really interested in how his character looked and acted, and so much so that he like wrote out a backstory for himself. He based it on Ernest Hemingway. Apparently Olivier Megaton asked Knepper to watch the movie Phone Booth and learn from Kiefer Sutherland. Like, I just like, they're, you know, they really cared about stuff like this.
Yeah. I like the choice, and I'm not saying Luc Besson, you know, he definitely went for a type here, but I think she's great. And I not perfect first role, whatever, but hell, if I don't think I'd do that good in my first role. Yeah.
Like to see what she do in 10 years.
Yeah.
Or 10 years from this, which I guess was 4 years ago.
Yeah. How'd she do in 2018?
I looked at 2018 to see what she's been up to.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
She's probably been up to, I could tell you, the last thing she did was,
is there a way to look up like other things she's done?
Yeah. What? Weird, right?
What's this called? Super weird. Like some kind of database of something, of movies maybe?
It's very odd.
Is it on the internet?
My wife really liked her and, or she liked the show Blind Spot. I guess she was a hostage in that, but that's not a big role.
Oh, we watched the first season of that and it just got to be too repetitive. And so we gave up on it. But I hear that later the second season got better.
Yeah, she would say this. She would agree. She liked it a lot by the end. Yeah. So this is a lot of TV movies and stuff you've never heard of. She's in something that has no date. The most recent thing called Coffee Cafe. She plays Detective Miller. I don't know what that
coffee
is.
Coffee cafe.
Yeah, the coffee cafe. Yeah.
Ooh, it's right next to the food restaurant. Yeah.
Wait, is that near men's clothes?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, men's clothes.
It's really weird.
You'll like what we do for you.
The shirt clothing place.
Yeah, but for to put a button on this whole freckle thing, just real quick.
Sure.
I wanted to be very clear. I think they are, I like, you know, that model, there's a model that looks like a painted horse kind of that's terrible, but she's
no you're,
do you know what
about,
I'm talking about, she's got that skin thing that looks like like huge changes in pigment.
Yes, right, the very stark, like the vitiligo.
Yeah, there you go, that's the word. And somebody showed me a picture of her and waiting to hear what my reaction would be, and my reaction was like, I don't think it was what they expected, because I was like, that is so freaking cool looking, like, right. I realize that she's also, you know, unrealistically beautiful period, but
Winnie Harlow,
I think markings like this or unique things like this on people should be more celebrated than given shit for, you know.
Right.
It's unique and it's different. Like, if somebody walks out with a mangled face, I understand the human thing to go, oh, but I kind of go, oh, well, now you're truly different than the rest of us. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's like, it's, I don't know.
I would say that we
now
in America,
we bring it back around to Bond villains who are seriously disfigured.
Yep.
I think in America that we really market everything we do is for the teenagers. I mean, really.
The 18 to 35
35 demographic, Brian Dunaway.
The
18 to 35 demographic is famous for
young,
this. So, yeah.
When you're young, you find uniqueness off-putting. But as you get older, you find it more attractive.
Right.
Well, you so, think, but even like, when you're young, you think uniqueness means I'm going to go all goth and whatever in high school. But there's 60 other kids doing the exact same thing. You're not unique in the way you think you are. But later in life, I agree. Yeah, you start to see stuff for more of its uniqueness.
It's that, what was it called? There was a documentary called The Face where they talked about the perfect symmetry or whatever it is, the equation or whatever. I can't remember what it is, but they said that what was the name of Hugh Grant's ex, Elizabeth
Hurley?
Hurley, that she actually has it or had it or whatever. And, you know, it's the thing that kind of babies look for, that kids look for, that weird symmetry that we grow out of and then start seeing the differences.
I just looked up this documentary. It's called The Human Face. It was a 4-part series 21 years ago.
Get out. Is that long ago?
Oh,
really?
My gosh. What?
With John Cleese, Elizabeth Hurley, David Attenborough, Pierce Brosnan. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah. It's really, really good. And it talks all about that, you know, with the Holy Trinity. I can't think of what that phrase is called, but it's like the perfect
golden
equation. Golden ratio. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And the face, and you see it's not like a chart, but like there's an overlay. And so I've seen this. So this is a weird trend on TikTok. People take that overlay and they'll take someone famous and put their face underneath it. And then they'll, like in Procreate or something, they'll mush all the features to fit the overlay and then remove the overlay. And it is freaking weird. Like, people like Steve Buscemi is like the hottest man you've ever seen.
I've watched 100 of these videos on TikTok, and I'm still, the one that blows my mind the most is Tom Cruise, because he somehow looks more like Tom Cruise when his face gets pushed all around into the ratio.
Yeah. Yes, it's weird, right? It's a very odd
really
thing.
Weird.
And it says more about, you know, it's the science behind it. It's fascinating, but I just put a link in there of like some faces they think fit that. But that middle one is that thing, and people will like mush people in there.
You didn't paste it where I could see it.
Yeah. Sorry. Wrong one. Shit. Gosh dang it. I answered a question in a different group, and now I'm effed up. All right. Here
why
it is.
Are you posting this, Scott? I don't understand.
Here it is for real. So that middle one, if you take somebody's face and you try to mush them all in with all those lines, and then it doesn't really change them.
Yeah,
then that means they've got the
right. There's one on this page. I'm on a page looking at some of these, and I'm posting the Emily Blunt one because I think it's really interesting.
Interesting. But it makes her look. It's not unique anymore. It looks like it's just everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
That the description of beauty is like symmetry with one unique feature. Isn't that usually?
I think no unique feature, I think, is the way you need it. But check out, Gal Gadot looks like one of those highlights, spot the difference kind of things, like you were just talking about, when you don't see any changes between the two.
Right. Yeah.
The nose is narrow, so I see that.
The nose,
the
gets
chin's
really
a little
narrow.
More pointy.
A little more.
I think she looks incredibly scary in the one and the
honestly,
the right
it's
side.
The nose narrowing and the eyes
the key,
come.
The key to these
uncanny
things,
valley.
Yeah.
The go real ahead. Key to these is when you look at the before and after and you mix them up, like put the after on the left and the before on the right. Yeah. Like, you know, you really don't know if you don't see the process.
Oh, this is hilarious, because all they did was chisel him a bit more.
Timothy Chalamet.
Talking about
Chocolate Lockman somewhere so everybody can see him. But it's interesting to see all of this, but it also gives me a feeling of uncanny valley.
Oh yeah, very much uncanny valley. You're right. Like that second image, there's like something's just off. Like, what is it?
I love the individual who pointed out at some point, I don't know who to give this credit to, but they pointed out the fact that the uncanny valley feeling that we get as humans was evolved because at some point in time we needed to protect ourselves from something that was trying to imitate humans.
You could tell the difference. I think there's probably something to that, although some would probably jump as far as saying they're aliens wearing our skin or some bullshit.
Yeah.
You want to see Will a weird Smith. One?
Yeah.
I would. So I'm going to post one in here. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I think you'll probably figure it out, but it might take you a second because they look so weird when they're faces.
Tom Holland and Loki had a baby. Is that
Right. It's Tom Holland, but it's like the his face is mushed around so much he doesn't.
Wow, they really go for the nose in these things.
I want to make a commitment right now to everyone who's still listening to the show and has not turned us off completely. I am going to formulate a post for our Patreon feed.
Yeah,
that shows all of this. Please do.
Puts out a bunch of these and explains what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm going to give you this link, Randy. I'll put it in here. And that's the one where all these photos came from. Okay. And you'll find Taylor Swift is another one where it's like, I can't tell if they changed her at all.
Okay, yeah, Scott, I'll get with you to make sure.
Yeah, send me the stuff you're going to give me. I would love to do that.
One time that we posted Jason Statham. All right, fine. So,
well, he's not on this. Yeah, I wish he was on this list because that would be an interesting one.
I'm sorry. This Leonardo DiCaprio one just about killed me. What the frick, dude? That is wrong. That is not cool.
I know. His eyes look like they've been moved up his head. Oh, or is it just that his nose has been stretched down or something? But
that's heinous. Don't like it. Part of it is that you're looking at them at the same time. If you saw one separately and just said, hey, that's so-and-so, I'd say, oh, yeah, I guess that is.
But almost all of these on this page are just taking the width of the nose down. Like that, apparently they think that that is... the golden ratio is, we just need to make the nose about, you know, a third the width of what it really is.
And I assume these are computer models that are deciding this or telling us this
the
or something.
The easiest way to do this, of course, is just to split someone's face in Photoshop and just mirror it.
Mirror it on the other side.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The easiest
which
way.
Can also make you look like an alien, a real alien. Like a real alien? Is that a thing? No.
It's making everybody alien. Look like they can't breathe through their nose.
Right, exactly.
You know, I don't know why.
I'll tell you who has a great face.
Beautiful.
You know who has a great face, guys?
Who has a great face?
Jerome Crabbe, our legislator.
Nicely done, bringing it back.
Yeah,
Jerome Crabbe, who was also our secret bad guy in The Fugitive a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
Dr. Nichols.
Yeah, Jerome Crabbe is Dutch. He's playing a Ukrainian, I guess.
Yeah.
Legislator. He is so interesting to look at.
Like, I love that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. They have like lots of shots of where he's like walking into a hotel and he's got his entourage.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, his hair, his face, his stare. He has that like dead 20 yard stare. Like,
yeah.
I love
it. You know what's crazy though? That guy is a good example. Like, some kind of look at him if you want to know what it means to go from, let's say, the year 2000 and. Or no, 1993 to 2008. It doesn't seem like that long of a time, but that guy went from babyface in The Fugitive, to this, you know, he's still a good-looking guy, but he's clearly aged a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And it's drastic. Like, those don't even look like the two same people. When he first walked in the room, I went, wait, didn't we just see him? Maybe
oh,
not.
Really? Yeah, I think he's, I don't know. I think he looked closer to how he looked in The Fugitive with just different hair, like grayer hair, obviously, than other people I've seen who've aged this much. I think he has kept a lot of those features, for in my opinion.
Yeah, like, he's really cool dude. I like him and everything, but he's just so slated to be either the bad guy or the guy who you thought was good turning bad, or just straight up bad guy who has maybe a little redemption in him or is in a bad place. Like in this, he's not really a bad guy. He's just kind of forced to do a thing.
Man.
I would have agreed with you until I saw some of these other photos of him. There's one where he looks like a 70s sports reporter. I'm putting it in our chat. Randy, you can put this on our Patreon.
Look at that. Over to Bill for sports. Look at that.
It does. He looks like John Krasinski of the 70s. But I could see that being your rom-com leading man, dude.
Sure, why not?
And not being the secret bad guy.
Yeah.
But later on, yeah, for sure, he definitely has that look of like, oh, I trust you until I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
By the way, speaking of John Krasinski, this is a total out of left field. Yeah. Have any of you picked up on the world of online content creators hating John Krasinski?
No, why? No. Why?
What's that? It is just like exploded. I am going to, you know what? I'm going to see if I can make this the bonus
point?
Episode of FilmSack. I want to dig into in the hell happened with John Krasinski that so many content creators are just like losing their minds.
When you say content creators, you mean what? Like YouTubers that commentate on like Hollywood shit or what's the who? Like
Cody Johnson. I don't know. You know, people who make YouTube, YouTube video makers.
Okay, so YouTubers that cover like pop culture, probably.
Well, and they also like to stare at their own navel, right? Sometimes they all they're all like, you know, looking around TikTok and finding someone who has 3 million followers. And
right. And exactly. Them. It's like the tall poppy syndrome. Oh, I hate that guy because he's so popular. And they probably hate Krasinski because he did such a great job with that Good News When We Needed Good News. The
oh, yeah.
That series that he did.
Yeah, he sold it to
COVID.
Somebody, right?
Did he?
Yeah, good, that was controversial because he started it and then it just looked like it was this nice thing. And then somebody actually bought it. But I don't know why they bought it. I can't remember the deal. But some people were mad about that. I remember that. They were like, oh, you said do a thing that's supposed to be just nice and for free, and then you sell it for profit. Brr. And I'm like, whatever. Make him Mr. Fantastic. Just
I'm so mad.
Like I say, I'm going to see if there's a bonus episode in all of that. Speaking of, we have a Brian Dunaway bonus episode.
Yeah, coming right up.
Coming very soon.
Very excited.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Star Knights, be prepared to go to YouTube.
All right.
Be prepared. Star Knight.
Harvey Keitel in a Spanish dubbed or English dubbed Spanish movie about a space alien. That's right. Like Randy said, a space alien.
A real space alien.
Oh, that's awesome. Now I'm looking forward to that because you're digging at the bottom of the freaking DVD barrel.
I'm looking at the bottom of the sack.
Yeah.
It's a single serving sack.
What's in this?
Yeah. What's in your sack? Ask Brian. That's what you ask. all right. I think we're to the point we could do clips unless you guys have anything else you'd like to add.
I just had a couple other notes that, let's see. I wrote, when Frank gets mad at his French buddy there for falling asleep while they were fishing, I wrote, getting mad at sleeping while fishing is like getting mad at sleeping while watching this movie.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you should never get mad. You should never get mad while fishing, ever.
Always. Oh, I should have saved that for my Twitter post. Also, nobody thought to check the back seat, so all these people, you know, the dude crashes through Frank's wall in that car. And the paramedics come and they all get that guy out. And then finally, oh, there's somebody in the back
there's
seat.
There's a full-sized woman in the back seat. What are we doing?
Sleeping. You're going to tell me. Through a house, sleeping.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me professional paramedics arrive at the scene of a car crash and don't check the back seat?
Right. Yeah.
Plus, they were like, do your own job. We got our job. And I'm like, you did a bad job. You're bad at this. You didn't notice a whole woman in the back seat.
A whole human being.
Someone who has enough drugs in her blood that she can sleep through a crash through a building. And then
so those are the only extra notes I had.
So that guy, the American guy that crashed in there, his whole story is what? That he just, I don't remember what his role was.
Oh,
here.
He was, so this was his first job. And thanks, Frank Martin, for getting me killed. Right.
He was a transporter. Okay.
He's the replacement transporter. Yeah.
It made no sense because Frank Martin, whenever he meets with these people, he doesn't give them his name. That's his rule. And what does he do? He writes Malcolm's name on a piece of paper and hands it to him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Does it make any sense? But yeah, Malcolm Manville, that was his name.
Malcolm Manville. These names, dude.
Welcome to Malcolm Manville. Yeah, David Atrachi or something like that.
Honestly, Malcolm Manville is a more compelling name than Frank Martin.
Totally is.
Yeah. Like I said, that's why makes me think they're fake. This Ville's like a very fake name. What's your name? Malcolm Manville.
Yeah. George Glass.
Yeah. And I would say, look, don't.
Peter Big Dick. Well,
don't,
sorry, what?
Don't sleep on Robert Kepner or Nepper, I guess how you say
Kepner?
It. Yeah. He played our bad guy in this thing. He's really interesting in tons of stuff. I feel like he's almost like, I don't know. He's of the Lance Hendrickson school of bad guys. He's just an interesting guy. So seek him out, watch his other movies. And we'll talk about Ice here later, who I also liked, played by Eric Mbunani.
Ice.
Well, let's talk about him now.
Okay. Cool black guy with a gray beard. He's cool. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, he's so interesting and imposing. When I first saw him, I was like, oh, I've seen him before. But then I haven't. Yeah. I was so interesting, you know, that I just wanted him to be someone that I've seen before. That's it, you know.
Yeah, it was really good. All right, let's move on to these clips then. That's the thing to do. Oh, one thing I was going to mention. Sorry, I almost forgot. This was the saddest trivia in the trivia. It says here, and they don't give any other details. It's just this simple line. Only transporter film to be nominated for an award, but wound up not winning anything. That's sad.
Aww.
That is sad.
I'd like to know what award it was, but they didn't win, whatever it was.
Best Shirtless Statham.
I'll tell you what was the saddest trivia for me, and I'm just taking it personally. There's a piece of trivia on IMDb about Transporter 3 that's about how the now playing podcast covered Transporter 3. Mm. And I just want to say, whoa, hey, guys, let's get on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there's somebody out there who could just submit podcast reviews of the movie to the trivia. Let's go. There's
you can put anything in there. Remember that time when we had people putting weird shit
who was considered for this role? And
They were total Film Sack sneaker beakers, but we could get somebody who could do that. We could get somebody out there, go in there and say Film Sack, three out of four Film Sack hosts said Statham was very hairy in this, or whatever it is. You could, but do real ones, you know. And I'm not saying troll them, but put real stuff in there. That's fine. Let's do it. Let's grow our brand.
Yeah.
All right. Here's some clips that we'll start now. And some of these we've already played, so I'll skip those. There we go. There's the ones we want. All right. Check it out. Here's this the prison break guy talking.
My name is not important. I've been put in charge of the negotiations you are engaged in with EcoCorp for issuance of their license to do business in the Ukraine.
It's just Ukraine, but thanks.
Thanks anyway. Yeah, I appreciate you.
I took you seriously.
2008, we knew this too. Like, I'll give it to you if it's still like early 90s and the Soviet Union is just kind of just breaking up.
Yeah.
We have this weird thing in English where because it's the Ural Mountains, we thought like it's the Ukraine Mountains or something. Mm-hmm. But no, like not by 2008. By 2008, you need to get this right.
Yeah, we know our stuff now. So Luc Besson, stop looking for weird, cute girls with strange eye makeup and...
Stop approaching girls in the streets.
Yeah, focus on the vernacular.
You want to be an actress?
Pay for your acting.
All right, this was a fun exchange. I liked this.
Two things you should know about my boss. He never gets his facts wrong. He never takes no for an answer.
Okay, did he say he never gets his farts wrong?
Yeah, he gets his farts wrong. But you missed the last part. Hold on. Now I lost my place. Hold on, where did it go? Oh, there we go.
Two things you should know about my boss. He never gets his facts wrong. He never takes no for an answer.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
Yeah.
There's a first time for getting your farts wrong.
Yeah, your farts wrong. Yeah. I also heard that. That's good. Got a prom night clip from Ibbot's mom. She's always.
Oh, it's been a while.
She's really on top of this stuff, dude. I'm really grateful that she spends so much time each week scouring your old tapes and stuff and finding these things. Because at one point, you had your hand on some girl's knee. I'm not even sure it was your own date. I don't know. Maybe it was one of the other boys. I don't know.
Could have been.
Here's what they said when you did that.
I'll give you 5 seconds to remove your hand.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was definitely one of the other guys.
Did you? all right. That's awesome.
I got nervous in that little moment. He's like, I'll give you 5 seconds to remove your hand. I'm like, remove your hand. Dude, remove your hand.
Yeah.
You need to remove your hand right now. What are you doing?
It was good. That was a fun. I like how that scene popped off. That was good. That was actually my oh, shit. Who just did that? Brian Dunaway. What are you doing? I look like, you know what I look like? I look like a Quake skin there.
Brian Dunaway.
You know what I'm talking about? Where they lay
some polygons.
Yes, exactly. They're all laid out flat so you can wrap it around polygons later.
We're looking at a picture of Scott Johnson where Brian Dunaway cut it in half and mirrored the halves. And
it's the perfect Johnson.
It is freakish.
Oh, it is. It's a pretty good photo of me that you'd used as the basis. Yeah, but man, that is some bullshit now. Do not like.
You need to rotate those halves, like rotate the right half clockwise a little bit and the left half counterclockwise a little bit.
It's like David Morse and Judge Reinhold had a baby. That's what that looks like right there. I don't like it. All right. Here's I know nothing is this one.
I know nothing.
Okay. She knows nothing.
I know nothing.
Yep.
I know nothing.
Then she
papers,
please. And then she talks about her favorite food.
Goulash. Beer.
Goulash. Beer.
Yeah. This is what anybody knows about Hungary. What about Budapest is goulash and beer.
Goulash and beer. Yeah. That's it. That's all I know.
And something that happened between Hawkeye and Black Widow years and years and years
ago. There's some Istanbul is now Constantinople or something. There's all that going on.
it's not Hungary.
It's not even Hungary. Yeah, what's wrong with me? All right. What matters is what matters my name? Anyway, we're here.
What matters my name?
Oh, what matters my name? Literally.
What matters my name?
What matters my name?
Come on now. She had better English in other scenes. I don't buy that for some reason. All right. She no like sausage.
I don't like sausage.
Okay. All right. I got a lot of her talking.
Sure.
Here's your schnitzel car guy.
Schnitzel with Kartoffelsalat.
It's just fun to hear, dude.
Kartoffelsalat. Schnitzel with Kartoffelsalat.
What is Kartoffelsalat?
Kartoffelsalat. I don't know.
I don't know what that is. I like that guy, though. It's great. Every one of these kind of movies has a guy like that. It's like, so if you're a car dude, you got a mechanic somewhere. John Wick had his black car and he took it to see Leguizamo, who had a special garage that knew all about John Wick and, you know, the secret society and all that stuff. I like that. It's a fun trope.
I'm almost there. I'm looking at pictures of schnitzel with Kartoffelsalat.
Yeah, you spell it.
Kartoffelsalat. Yeah. Can you find? I wrote it as cart of salad.
Right. So salat makes sense. I guess Kartoffelsalat is potato salad.
Okay.
It's just potato salad, guys.
All right. Yeah. So it's a wiener.
Schnitzel with potato salad.
Yeah. Schnitzel's a wiener, right? It's like a sausage wiener thing.
Schnitzel with Kartoffelsalat.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. How nice.
It's really fun here.
I'm going to endeavor to make a potato salad.
Schnitzel is like hammered flat meat. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a hot dog.
Maybe deep fried. No.
I don't know shit about this stuff.
Wiener schnitzel, I think, is... Oh, no. Wiener schnitzel is just veal that's been flattened.
Oh. Why is there a der Wiener schnitzel that does...
Because that's Wiener schnitzel.
Oh, so we just effed around with the language and...
Yes, we definitely have no business.
Because we like the word wiener, and we thought, it'd make for a great restaurant.
We definitely have no business meddling in these affairs.
Yeah, because nothing you got at Wiener Schnitzel was flattened and deep fried. It was just a hot dog in a bun.
Sometimes they're flattened, but that's because they pack them bad.
That's right. Then all of those became hamburger stands.
That's right. That's right.
It's what's really, really weird is that Americans, yes, took Wiener Schnitzel and just started making it in Texas and called it chicken fried steak. Like, I understand now why people from outside of the United States are mad at the phrase chicken fried steak. We didn't need that kidding. Phrase.
That is exactly what Wiener Schnitzel is, or Wiener Schnitzel is chicken fried steak or chicken fried veal or, yeah.
So flattened, breaded, fried with gravy on it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we did. We stole it and called it Southern. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We're such dicks.
And now I know what I want for lunch. Damn it.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yes, I am making potato salad today. I just want you to know.
Lots of mustard. Are you a mustard guy? Because it's got to have a lot of mustard for me.
Yeah, I make a very mustardy potato salad. And
a lot of dill.
My secret is I marinate the onions in pickle juice.
Everybody does that.
And now it's not a secret.
Wait, really? Is that a thing people do?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, that sounds good. I would marinate my onions in pickle juice. Mm.
Yeah. I think Dolly Parton does that.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. All right. Here's I'm the big one.
I'm the big one.
I'm the big one.
I'm the big one.
How big are you?
I'm the big one.
Okay, great. There's two penises in a room. I look at one and say, who are you?
I'm the big one.
Okay, great.
Oh, nice.
Conversational style, I wrote. Don't know what I meant. Here it is.
How was your nap?
Restful. How was your phone call?
Brief.
Okay.
That sounds like when I come home from work and Tina, you know, it's us asking about each other's days. Yep. That's what it sounds
how
like.
How was your nap? And then she says, listen. No, that's not a real voice.
Watch some Blackish.
I love that it's always watching Blackish.
Yeah. What am I going to do when that show finally ends?
There is a lot of this in there, a lot of audio that sounds like this.
What the hell is he doing?
What is he doing? Just lots of yelling over the music. That happens a lot. Sandwich versus vodka.
Should have thought about buying a sandwich instead of a bottle of vodka.
Yeah. So, if you're hungry, maybe do that. No, get the booze. Here's, Statham making an admission.
Yeah, you're sexy.
Yeah, you're sexy. Mm,
sexy.
Yeah, and then she says, you're the gay.
You're the gay.
Uh-huh. And he says,
I am not the gay.
Okay. Wow. And then why was this in here I wrote? Okay. Why did this exist?
His beloved car will be his grave.
That's stupid to say.
His beloved car.
His beloved Audi A8.
Isn't that lame, though? It's a lame thing to say. His car will be his grave. It's like, shut up, dude. You're not as evil now. Now you're just dumb. All right. Time for this. It's the Film Sack checklist. This list looks like I wrote it late. Anyway, fast cars, check. Weird redhead ladies, check. Post-crash neck massage, check.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then she kissed it, and he went, ooh.
And then she kissed it.
Yeah. And she went, I kissed your hairy neck, and he went, ooh. All right. let's do Star Trek connections. I know there are at least a couple.
Yeah, I want to tell you about two. The first I want to tell you about is a guy named Kevin Carter. I don't think we've ever connected him between a movie and the Star Trek universe before, but you know, here we are. Kevin Carter is, and I'm not making this up, a contact lens painter. He paints contact lenses for a living, working on like films and TV shows. In Transporter 3, he was credited with painting contact lenses, and he also got that credit on like three episodes of Strange New Worlds, and I'm again not making this up, 37 episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Isn't I guess that, it must have a character, a running character, right? That uses it.
Yeah. Can you maybe not permanently paint contact lenses? You don't have to keep repainting them?
I don't know. It's so strange.
That is really interesting. Huh.
This is a real credit in IMDb. Kevin Carter is his name. Wow. The person we really want to talk about, though, is Robert Knepper. He's our bad guy, Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Got Johnson over here.
He's bad Johnson guy here. Johnson.
Bad yeah. guy Johnson.
We got bad Johnson.
Frank versus Johnson.
Robert Knepper in the Star Trek Voyager episode Dragon's Teeth played Gaul. He's a, yeah. I think he's the heavy in that episode.
I think so too. Yeah.
Bad guy of the week.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay.
Again, I don't know. Something about certain character actors always jump out at me. That guy does. And I think it's because I was really into Prison Break when it was on. Like really into it. Too much, maybe.
Too much.
It. Yeah. I think they're bringing that back.
I hear it's really good.
I hear there's some redo happening. Hold on. Let's see if it's on his list. No. Maybe that was just a rumor. There was some talk of bringing them all back and doing some later thing. Who knows? That's probably a bad idea. Let's move on. Soundtrack grade. I give it a B for better than the last two. I really feel that way. I liked it a lot better than the last two. And I don't know why. I think it had some of the goofy stuff that Brian was talking about at the top of the show. That kind of kind of weirdness. Had one of those. Then it had some pretty good, intense, like, you know, normal action movie music. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, I do miss the goofy music from the first Transporter.
Well, what about the part where he's getting his car pulled out with the tractor and the water and they play
like yokel music?
That was really weird. It didn't fit. Yeah. It was very odd.
This is Alexandra Azaria, same guy from the previous movies. Went by the name Replicant in the credits for the first movie. I guess that he was a band, you know, or something like he's a music artist named
now
Replicant.
He's Replican.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why Replicant if you can Replican? It's a good attitude to have, you know, it's a better attitude.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not done a lot. Like for a composer, he picks his projects, I guess.
Yeah.
And the thing he's most pleased about is the movie Lockout, 2012 movie. Lockout. You know, with Guy Pearce, Maggie Grace.
Yeah. Right. Did we watch that? That sounds familiar.
I don't think we watched that.
Yeah, Lockout? Yeah.
Did we?
Did we watch that one?
It feels like one we did watch, but I'm notoriously bad at remembering anything about anything.
So. Let's go to Quick Sack LI and look. Did we do Lockout?
Yes, we did. It was Film Sack number 162.
Damn.
In May of 2013, we watched Lockout and we heard the score by Alexandra Azaria.
Von
Potato Pants.
Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. I don't make the rules. It's a Twitter problem. If they ever make it bigger, sure, we'll do bigger, but we can't right now because that's the limit. And we start with Randy.
Transporter 3. Kind of a fall on face, shoot own foot attempt to continue this movie series. No wonder they never made another Transporter movie. I said they never made another Transporter movie. That is final. Shut up.
Well, nothing ever made it to theaters again, I don't think. I don't think 4 or whatever that new one is went there. So I kind of want to see it, but not soon, you know?
Yeah.
Let's give it some time.
I need a break.
We need like a year.
I need a break from Fugitives, Transporters, and Bonds.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need any more Chase Me movies. I'm done.
There's a lot. Chase Me movies for we a did minute. A lot of Chase Me movies. Even though
I'm glad you said that because
guess what we're watching next week?
Bourne Identity 11.
Kind of missing the third Bourne movie from our upcoming list, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Has it been taken off the...
And that's okay.
I'm temporarily okay with it. I kind of need closure, but I could watch that on my own, I suppose. Either way. All right. We'll nicely done. Hey, while you guys were busy doing your Twitter posts. Oh, wait, did we do everybody yet?
We did. Sure. Randy did one.
No,
that's good. One
sorry, my brain's not. My brain's not its normal self.
Let's move right on.
Let's throw it over to Brian Dunaway now for his read.
Oh, do I get to do one?
Yeah.
Oh, Transporter 3. Look here, Mr. Francy Pants. With all due respect, the French think that Jerry Lewis is a genius. Oh, I'm good at this. Make tents go away.
Wow. Nicely done. Brian Ibbett, your turn.
You know what? Because you forgot me, I'm going to give you two. Transporter 3, the worst drug-fueled road trip movie since Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, and my personal favorite, Transporter 3, are we there yet?
Oh. The answer is no. The answer is absolutely
I sure
freaking
hope so.
Not. All right. Now I can do alternate titles and feel good about it. Hey, look at this. This was almost called Jason Statham Presents the Most Awkward In-Car Handshake of All Time. That almost happened. Where she just kind of limply grabbed his finger.
I was like, oh, dude, you're like uncomfortably close to her boobs.
Yep. Yeah, he was in striking distance of her breasticles.
Right.
Or it was almost called Harry Potter and the Magical Audi. That didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get the rights.
That's funny. It's just funny. It's called Audi. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's
an Audi.
It almost sounds like a belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife, she says, what are you guys doing for Film Talk? And I go, well, we're like a week. We're doing a weird thing with the schedule. I go, but we're getting ready to do Transporter 3. She goes, oh, that's those movies with the Audis in them. I'm like, how do you know that?
How
wants an Audi.
No kidding. Yeah.
She wants an Audi. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to have an Audi, too. They're fantastic.
Well, let's move from Audis to Innies and do emails. We've got emails here from a couple of folks, a couple of quick ones. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to use. And here's what Shanafan says. You'll see him in our Tadpool all the time, also often in the Discord. So, hello, Sackers. Love that you sacked The Fugitive, one of my all-time favorite movies. I think I watched it almost every day this summer before 10th grade. Randy was hard on the movie, though. Not surprising when he already dislikes Love Actually. Ooh, some deep, deep cuts.
Ooh,
it says, what we didn't get was the what grossed Scott out the most. My guess was the egg sandwich that Kimball scarfed down in the hospital room and then proceeded to lick his fingers. Imagine how sweaty and germy his already hairy fingers were from escaping a prison bus to running through the woods. Love the show, Shanafan. Good point. We did omit a gross moment from last week, and you're absolutely right. That would have been, 2 weeks ago, that would have been it.
I mean, I feel like he would have washed his hands as he was shaving his beard and everything, but yeah, still the licking fingers, that's an easy pull for a wet gross Scott out.
Yeah, if you want to gross me out, lick your fingers. Go for it.
Now that we're a little bit past it, I kind of regret that there aren't more movies like that with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. You know, like they could have been a thing. They could have made,
your
sequels.
Fault that there isn't.
Right, but I'm just saying, like they could have... You know, like they could have been like
other movies.
I'm trying to think of two actors that appear in a lot of different movies together.
Oh, like Redford and Newman, for example. Or let's see,
Chan and Tucker, I guess those are all the same movies. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
There you go.
Chan and Owen Wilson. I don't know. I do like that.
Yeah,
you know what? De Niro and can't think of his name.
Everybody in Christopher Nolan's Black Book.
Yeah. Everything all the people he calls every time he needs to make a movie.
Killian Murphy and everybody else.
That's right. Boy, he does like him, doesn't he?
He really does. And I can't wait to see that Oppenheimer thing.
Oh, Oppenheimer's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's got Black Widow in it. Well, her sister, I mean. Yelena. Anyway, I really like her a lot. Anyway, let's move on to this email from Rob, who says, hello, chaps. Been listening to the Fugitive episode. And Heat 2 movie was mentioned by Scott. I hate to break it to you, but at the moment, this is purely a book sequel / prequel to the original movie rather than a full-on movie sequel. They may do a movie at some point. As far as I know, it's staying in print form for now. Anyway, love the podcast, Rob. You're right, except there is much talk happening, including Michael Mann himself right now, saying that they are going to move forward with the film adaptation. So you could be right. They may never do it. Stuff gets canceled or shelved all the time. But I'm holding out hope that the greatest heist movie of all time might get more from all the people involved. So there. That's what I want. I want old De Niro, Pacino, get a freaking Val Kilmer in there with his current problem and get him in there. I don't care. Make it. Make this movie. Heat 2. The Reckoning.
Did you know that Michael Mann apparently made a TV series called Tokyo Vice this
year?
Yes,
I did, and it's good, by the way.
I didn't know anything about it.
It's got Ken Watanabe in it. And I watched the first episode and went, I am absolutely watching this. Kim said, I want to see that. Save it. And we haven't just taken the time. But it's supposed to be great.
Oh, have I not? I haven't recommended that yet. I'm going to recommend that.
Oh,
okay.
Well, it's good.
I guess we're just... We're after you recommended it, yeah. Brian. If you go ahead and recommend it.
Oh, right. Yes. I recommended that this last Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, the last Wednesday. Right, here. Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Well done on the thing you haven't done yet.
I can't believe I forgot to recommend it because I watched that and said, oh, my God, I can't wait to talk about this.
It's great, right? I love the first episode.
So good. It is, you know, and Anson Elgort's great. I mean, everybody's great in this.
Yeah. I love Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, I love him as much as I dislike Adam Driver, who is starring in the upcoming Michael Mann movie Ferrari.
Oh. You don't like him? I like him. You don't like him?
I really don't like Adam Driver.
Really?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
What is it you think it is? Is it just I don't know, proof that any goofy looking dude can make it in Hollywood, or what do you think it is?
I don't know. It's one of those things that's like comes from your gut, and it's like, you know, it's also got Patrick Dempsey, and I love Patrick Dempsey, and I can't tell you why. It just comes from your gut.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. I like him. I'm trying to think if there's anything I don't like the Star Wars and new Star Wars movies, but that's not his fault. He will finish.
Maybe it is.
Started.
Maybe it's Adam Driver's fault, Scott.
Maybe it is his fault.
Ever think of it that way?
I haven't. Now that you say it, I just know he has good soup. All right, let's move on. Here's that's it for emails. Okay, so if you want to be a part of the email party time here, it's real easy. You just send us an email, and you do that by typing filmsack@gmail.com into your little email client, and then you send us whatever you want, and we'll read it here on the show. So keep those coming. We love it. And big thanks goes out there to everybody on our Patreon, patreon.com/filmsack. Get in there. It's a perfect time to get in before the end of the month. And as Randy just mentioned, we're going to put a little extra post up this week where we can give you some visual about all this face symmetry crap we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll do this more often. I like that idea.
Including a bunch of Scott's faces done with symmetry that Brian Dunaway has really been working hard on this whole episode.
Yeah, look at you with your hard work that you're doing. Oh, my God.
I'd like to commend our patrons. We put up a post in patreon.com/filmsack asking patrons to suggest movies for us to watch in the future. And several of them came up with a movie that we're going to watch in 2 weeks. We are 2 weeks out from movie that they suggested. And I'll pull a Scott Johnson on that. And you're gonna find out what that is after the next one.
Ooh, I'm excited. So there's that. Next week, we're doing another movie, as you may guess. And this time, it's got Richard Chamberlain in it, not being peed on by a Shogun. So,
and it's got Sharon Stone not flashing the cooch.
Oh my gosh! Really? Oh, wow. She's in that?
Both of them breaking their stereotype. They came from one thing.
Cooch flashing. They're all right.
Casting.
So this is what's the name of the movie? What's it called?
King Solomon's Mines.
King Solomon's Mines, which came out like what, 80s? King Solomon's Mines, 85.
King Solomon's.
85. You got your Richard Chamberlain, your Sharon Stone, your Herbert Lom. I don't know who that is.
John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, John Rhys-Davies you'll have my axe and all that. That's pretty cool. Anyway, they're all coming at you. We're going to try to give you it's like proto Indiana Jones, but also because it came out in 85, rip off Indiana Jones. You know what I'm saying? It's right. Like this weird combo. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen it, so I'm in. I'm all in on this. This will be great. J. Lee Thompson directed it.
When you say the name J. Lee Thompson, I'm like, I have no idea who that is.
That guy was 1,000 years old when he died. He's 88.
when he died.
Born in 1914, though. That's an old guy.
I guess I just exposed my huge lack of film cred. He directed Guns of the Navarone. I'm sorry,
that's a big movie.
The Guns of Navarone, yeah.
That's considered one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, he directed the OG Cape Fear, the Gregory Peck Cape Fear.
Oh, wow. That's cool. All right. Well, look what we got here, everybody. J. Lee Thompson's very own Solomon's Mines got something in it. Nope. King Solomon's Mines.
The King of Solomon's Mines.
All right. That's next week right here on FilmSack. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is our website. You'll find links to everything we've talked about here, including that Patreon. Once again, Patreon.com/FilmSack. Those emails come to us at FilmSack@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @FilmSack and leave us a review wherever you get your shows. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I'm not the gay.
We'll see you next time. You are not the gay.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm the big one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.